Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with Canadian jazz bassist John Lee. He talked about his life in jazz, COVID, and his new 2022 CD, The Artist. After graduating from the Berklee College of Music in 2016, the South Korean-born musician established himself as a prominent multi-instrumentalist in Vancouver, where he put in heavy lifting and self-reflection necessary to prepare for this brand new album. Enjoy the story.
John, let's start at the top here. Thank you for taking a minute out for Neon Jazz. I appreciate it.
No worries.
Brand new album coming out at the end of a pandemic, hopefully. More chances to perform live and to get out with it. What does a release mean for you right now? I know a lot of musicians have kind of waited for certain moments, and it seems like right now is a good time.
Oh, yeah. We spent a lot of time trying to get this out, you know, like this was originally supposed to come out, I guess it would have been, the release should have been 2021 or 2020. I don't know. It's all kind of blurring in right now because of the pandemic. We had to delay, you know, the recording process and the release and all that. So, you know, I think that it's just really great for me to put out a record at all, because I never really was the type of person, if I didn't have a push from like the label and all that kind of stuff, you know, I don't think that I would have really taken the first step to do it, you know, because I've always just been about being a musician, but no one told me that later in life I'm going to have to like do a release and then, you know, have phone interviews and just like all this stuff, you know. But yeah, I guess it does mean a lot to me, because it's just like putting something out there that is like a snapshot of my life at this point, which, like I said, is something that I never had that much interest in like pursuing myself as far as getting it done and whatnot. So I have a lot to thank for Cellar Live and the whole label for pushing me to do that. So yeah,
I will tell you one thing that might be of interest to you right now. This morning I did a career fair at a local elementary school where I live. I'm in Lee Summit, the home of Pat Metheny, and I am amazed at how many kids do not know any jazz musicians at all. I mean, these are fifth and sixth graders. So I brought in a stack of CDs, and every time I get CDs, I usually get the music off of it, and then I give it to like hospices, or, you know, I give it away because I've used it. I don't want to just keep it in the shelf. I gave a kid your CD today, a fifth grader, so I may have just started a whole new set of dreams.
Oh, well, thank you for doing that.
You got it. So speaking of the new disc, you know, talk to me a little bit about what you're hoping the audience gets from this. I know you have a perception, but it's always different when you think about what you want the listener to get.
You know, I think that it's, for me, it's like, I've always been into like really straight ahead jazz music, you know, like ever since I was like a young kid. My mom's like best friend, like from high school and stuff, that they do business together. He happens to be a jazz musician, like an amateur jazz guitar player, like in Japan. And he sent us like this box of CDs when I was like 8 years old that had all this like straight ahead jazz music in it. You know, I was listening to that music growing up, and my older brother was pushing me to listen to this music. I don't know how he was so hip to know that, you know, that it was good music. So, and I remember like feeling something kind of special about that music when I was first discovering it. And I would say that this album that I just released was not as old school, definitely, as some of the stuff that I was listening to. But I'm hoping that, especially for younger listeners, that if they do happen to run into this, that they just get sort of the same feeling of what I got back then, where it will maybe get them to go down their own sort of path of, even if they're not becoming a musician, to at least like discover this music and maybe find more, and hopefully, you know, like delve into the history a little bit of maybe where stylistically this music is coming from. I mean, I have a feeling that it's not, like I said, it's not really like coming from that old school. Like maybe for myself, I would hope that they would discover the generation before me and their music as I'm influenced by their approach to the music, probably a little bit more than
than the cats that were playing like way back in the day, you know, but it's all connected in a big lineage. So I just hope they would hopefully discover more music in this vein through listening to my music, I guess.
So how did all this begin? How did the Jaws of Jazz get a hold of you? How did this journey start for you?
You know, as I was saying earlier, when I was around 8 years old, my mom's best friend sent us this box of CDs. My older brother, who's a musician, he was the one that sort of pushed me. Like, I remember, you know, he got the first electric guitar in the house, and then he was like, hey, like, you should, like, play the bass so that we can play together. And even though we were playing, like, all this, like, rock music coming up, he was always, like, you know, showing me, like, all these CDs that, you know, that this person sent to us, and being like, hey, man, like, this is, like, really cool stuff. Like, if you, you know, I remember, like, this is going to, you know, would come useful, like, much later, but I remember him being, like, or I remember him, like, singing all of these improvised solos from all these recordings, and he was encouraging me to do so as well. And, like, now when I think back to it, like, in hindsight, it was amazing that he was able to sing full recordings of, like, Sonny Rollins solos from back to back, being able to replicate all that. Now, this is, like, way before I would actually get into jazz. It was just something that was sort of around the house, if you will. Through that, we always sort of used the high school music program as an excuse to play music. And, like, since we couldn't do our rock band stuff, there was a lot more jazz stuff going on there. Throughout high school, I just sort of developed an interest for, you know, interest for the music and all that. And then right as I was about to graduate high school, I was recommended by Ingrid Jensen and the bass player named Christian Fabian to apply to Berklee College of Music. And basically I sent that in, was able to get this scholarship called the Slate Family Scholarship, which is a scholarship they give to one Canadian every year to get, like, a full ride for the whole thing. Like, they pay for tuition, they pay for housing and all this stuff. So I was able to win that scholarship, which is amazing because I wouldn't have been able to go otherwise. So that took me to the States, you know, that brought me out of Canada to go to the States. And then when I went to the States, you know, that's maybe something, you know, it's hard to condense that experience, but me being a Canadian musician, like, going to Boston and, like, being around a lot of Americans, like for me, like, as a Canadian, it was, like, this sort of this thing where it's like, oh my God, I'm going to America to learn American music. And, like, that was, like, kind of, like, a big deal for me. Although I couldn't fully realize what a big deal that was at the time. So, you know, I have to say, like, you know, just to cap this off a little bit, I have to say that I basically knew nothing before I went down there. I really, really did learn, like, everything that I'm doing now. I learned basically from that 6 years, give or take, being in Boston and meeting a bunch of great people and playing music. So that's just sort of, like, you know, like, a brief background of how I sort of came up.
What do you like the best about being a professional musician?
I guess to a certain degree, you know, I guess the hours a little bit. I mean, you know, I like, you know, of course, like, there's the classic, you know, I'm doing what I love and all that kind of stuff. But I guess one thing is, is basically having to work very little hours and being able to have my day free and all that. But, you know, it's a different kind of grind, you know. But the whole thing that basically comes with it, you know, it's just everything that I ever wanted to do since I was, like, a kid, as long as I can remember.
So if you could get into a time machine and go back in time and see any musician in the history of jazz anywhere, where are you going to go? Who are you going to see?
Okay, well, there's, like, a couple of different tiers of it, you know, like, the first tier of people would definitely be the bebop musicians of the 1940s, obviously, Charlie Parker, Dizzy Gillespie, Bud Powell. Those are, like, the most important, or, you know, even though it goes back further than that, for what I do, those are, like, kind of, in my head anyways, it's, like, what I consider to sort of be the beginning of what I love about this music. So, like, if, you know, if I had to give one of those cheesy answers, it would be those guys. If I had to give sort of a more, actually, no, because, like, you know, because I was just about to say, next person that I would have wanted to see who actually didn't pass away that long ago would be Ray Brown. Because Ray Brown is the reason that I started playing the bass. I don't know if I should include this information that the record that I released, I'm playing bass on it. But to be honest, this whole thing of growing up in Canada and then going to school and at Berkeley in Boston, I actually did all of that on the drums. You know, that's like what I went to school for and all that. So, and I picked up the bass while I was at school. So I'm sort of newer to like playing upright bass. And then like basically the reason that I started playing the bass was the first time I heard Ray Brown on recording when someone showed me that. So yeah, I guess it would be Ray, but like, you know, I didn't miss him by that much. To be 100% honest, when I was going to the Lionel Hampton Jazz Festival, which is like a high school jazz festival, when I was going through high school, which is when I didn't have any, like really any interest in, you know, pursuing jazz. Like I remember we would go to these concerts and Ray Brown had died pretty recently and like they would show this memorial video every night before the concert would begin. And I remember like being a kid and I was getting like monotonous and I was like, and we would always be like, oh, like this Ray Brown guy, Ray Brown. I didn't know who he was, you know, it's like Ray Brown. It's always about Ray Brown. And I had no idea at that time that later he would become like my biggest influence, you know? So when I think back to that, it's kind of funny, you know?
So everyone has a perception of you, your family, your friends, your fans, but ultimately you live your life. Who do you think you are?
Yeah, I don't know. I see myself as somewhat of an educator and to a certain degree, I guess some kind of ambassador type figure to a certain degree here in the West Coast of Canada. You know, I'm a bit of a preacher out here. I gotta say, I have a very strong connection with sort of the younger musician crowd. I'm over here and trying to get them to play jazz music at a high level. It's actually stuff that I feel like is the stuff that my friends and family and stuff would not know that I'm sort of part of as far as the culture over here, if we want to sort of call it that. So basically, yeah, I'm just like a performing musician, but also has a deep passion for education and possibly see myself maybe in the future being involved with that.
Right on. John, hey, man, thank you for taking a minute out today. I really appreciate it. Thanks for your patience and for the music. I appreciate it.
No worries, Joe.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview. We give you a bit of insight into the finest players in Vancouver, Kansas City, and spots all over the globe, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to John for his time, music, and story. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes Store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com. And for everything Neon Jazz, go to the NeonJazz.blogspot.com. And for all things Joe Domino, go to JoeDomino.com. And when you're there, you can donate to the cause through PayPal or Patreon. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.